In our Sunday school class, that's the Lord's blessing. Our Father, we thank you so much for your mercy to us each day. We thank you, Lord, for the clarity and clearness of your word. Thank you that we can learn about you. We pray that you would teach us from your word this day, that you'd make it real to us, that we might, Lord, understand and be more conformed to your image. We plead for your blessing in your name. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 6 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 6. The Apostle Paul is the one writing this letter. And he's dealing with what it means to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There are many who hear the name of Jesus Christ, and there are many who think that they know him and that they are saved by him. And yet, they don't fully understand what it means to be a Christian or what it means to be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul shows us in this chapter, chapter 6 of Romans, he shows us what happens if we do come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do take the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and that we come with a repentant spirit to turn from sin, to take the Lord Jesus Christ as both Savior and Lord. What happens to the life? What happens to your life if you are truly know the Lord Jesus Christ? So often it's preached in our day that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and that is correct. But what is not preached, what is meant by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and having the salvation that Jesus Christ so gives. So the Bible is very, very clear regarding what this means. In chapter 5 of Romans, in verse 12, the Bible says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death is through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Adam was the first man created. Adam sinned. And in Adam, he represents all humanity, so that all humanity has fallen in sin. Sin is a rebellion against God. Sin is doing the opposite of what God tells us to do. Sin has no love for God. Sin does not follow after God. But all mankind, you and I, and everyone from the beginning of God's creating human beings, find ourselves, as Adam, in rebellion against God. He says that sin passed to us, And not only that, but the result of rebellion against God is death. Not physical death, although that is involved. Spiritual death, meaning that there's no relationship with God. There is no blessing of God. There is no way that God is pleased. But the Bible says that God is angry with those that rebel against Him. He's a just God, a righteous God. And therefore, He cannot lie, and He must do what He says. And He said to Adam that if you rebel against Me, you will die, not only physically, but spiritually. And therefore, Adam, having sinned and died, the Lord says, I will punish you. I will deal with you in righteousness, in a just manner. I have told you, and yet you rebel against Me. And so the Bible then goes on to speak regarding the fact that all men are in this position of rebellion against God. Well, that means that all men are going to experience the anger of God and the wrath of God. How is it that a person can be loved of God? How is it that a person can be blessed of God? How is it that you can go to heaven? And there is only one way. And so the Bible speaks clearly that the only way is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who came, very God, and became man, very man, that He would be the perfect sacrifice to deal with the sin and the penalty of men and women. He did not know sin Himself. He was sinless. But He came and offered up Himself, and having done so, everybody who comes underneath the Lord Jesus Christ and His work has their sins forgiven. And having those sins forgiven, they are made right then before God, and in God's love, He accepts them. And so they become, as it were, what we call believers in Christ, going to heaven. When the apostle comes to Romans 6, he shows what happens if a person truly knows the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens to the life? He says in verse 3 of Romans 6, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul is speaking here regarding this relationship. If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, you can't see Him, but it is through faith that you come and you take Him as Lord and Savior. There is, says Paul, a sense that you have died with Him, buried with Him, and you rose with Him. You identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. If we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we are joined to him by faith, and he is our Savior, what will happen in our life is that we will walk in a newness of life completely different. So when people say that I'm a Christian and that I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet their life is not different, their life has not changed, then they do not know him, and they have not come to him, because everyone that has been identified with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection, the fruit of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is that your life is completely changed. So here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, where Ephesians 2 and verse 1, the Bible says this. Paul says, "In you he made alive." See, when a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no power in themselves to change the life. There's no power in themselves. You can't do anything that would recommend you to God. You can't bring yourself out of spiritual deadness, because you are spiritually dead when you are in rebellion against God. Only God can make you alive. And so he says in verse 1 of chapter 2, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Paul says, you've been made alive. Your life has completely changed. You are different. Now, this is what you used to do. You used to be dead spiritually, meaning that you rebelled against God and you didn't care about that. You didn't care about changing. You went along according to your own rules and according to whatever you wanted to do. You once walked in the course of this world. See, a person who is spiritually dead, the world is everything. Your whole life is wrapped up in the world. Your whole life is what you do each day. Whole life is what you can get in this life. There's no thought of God. There's no going to Holy Scripture and reading and studying and praying and worshiping God. There's nothing like that. He goes on to say that you also live your life according to the prince of the power of the air. The devil is your father. The devil governs you because the devil hates God. And when you're spiritually dead, you hate God. You say, "Well, I never hate God." Yes, you do hate God when you continue to rebel and you don't turn, you don't change, you don't love him. Then you hate him, because if you loved him, then you would do everything that he has commanded. He goes on to say here in verse 2 of Ephesians 2, "the spirit who now works in the son of disobedience." That's your life. Your life is one of disobedience. "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves." Everybody started out that way. And we all conducted ourselves that way. "In the lust of the flesh, doing whatever we wanted to do, fulfilling our desires." Not fulfilling the desires of God. Not fulfilling. We don't give him the time. Oh, yes. We may read the Bible once in a while. We may go to church once in a while. We might even say to people, I believe in Jesus once in a while. But we don't really give our whole life to Him. We don't really come to where it is not what we desire, what God desires. There is nothing that forces the people of God to come to church. It is their delight and their privilege and their desire to worship God and to be among God's people and to hear the Word of God. They want to know, what is it that God would have me to do? And it's found only in the Bible. But you see, he says, that wasn't always the case. We, at one time, conducted ourselves before knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath. You see, you have people saying and preachers saying that God just loves everyone. He doesn't love everyone. There's wrath. There's anger. He is angry with those who do not know Him. And it's a just one. It's right. Because we have disobeyed and continue to disobey Him. But then, the Apostle Paul turns the table and he says, that's what we were at one time. But when God has made us alive, and it's God who makes us alive, we don't make ourselves. He, in His rich mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. Anybody who becomes a true Christian, it is totally by God's mercy. The person is struck with the fact, how can it be? I've rebelled against God. I have had no fear of God. I've tipped my hat to God, but that's about it. I haven't done anything, and yet in mercy, because of His great love, He loved us. And what did He do? But He changed us from being dead in our sins and made us alive together with Christ. So it is only in Christ that we are made alive. It's only coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must come in the right way. There are not several ways to come to Christ. There's only one way. And the Bible is very clear when it speaks about faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. When it speaks about repentance and turning from sin. You see, the life of Christ in Christ is to have a life that is changed, where we no longer go after the ways of sin, but we do so in the ways of God. So Paul in Romans 6, he's showing what happens when you know the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens to the life? And this is what he says in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. This is what happens. This is part of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, is to make a people who are free from sin and rebellion. He says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him. Galatians chapter 2, this is what God says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. There is a sense that I've been crucified with Christ. Not that I was involved at all in redeeming and paying for the sins of men. No, not in that way at all. But I've been crucified with Christ in the way that Paul speaks of here in verse 6 of Romans chapter 6, is that the old man was crucified with him. That is, that whole man that's involved in sin and rebellion against God, that's been crucified with him. And if it's crucified with him, that life, then that body of sin and rebellion against God has been done away. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. Many people who say that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you say to them, do you know that sin is bad? Do you know that God is angry with sinners who sin and rebel? Many will say, well, yes, I do know that. Oh, certainly I know that. But then if you ask them, what is sin? How is it that you rebel against God? They can't tell you a thing because they don't read the Bible. They don't know what it means to rebel against God at all. They don't know what sins are. But one thing is certain is that so many who say that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can tell whether it's true and whether it's right by this. Are they still slaves to sin? There are some that love to come to the Lord Jesus Christ so they can go to heaven, but they love their rebellion against God, and so they continue in their sins, and Paul says that they are slaves. That's all they can do. How can it be? Says Paul. It cannot be, because if you are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ and you know Him as your Savior, then the whole body, the whole area of sin that you just so freely do, rebellion against God, that you so freely give yourselves, not caring because you're thinking more about yourself and what you want, not God at all. He says that whole body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will no longer follow after sin where it's your master. You will not bow to sin. It is your master. But you have a different master, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you love Him. The body of sin has been done away with there upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has done that. That's part of His saving mercy. This is what He has done so that when people come to Him by faith and they come in a repentant spirit and they own Him as Master, sin has been broken as far as dominating them. Sin has been broken and taken away in the sense that they are not slaves. A believer will always be influenced and always fight against sin. But there will be no love for sin. There will be no taking sin as their master. That's the question that has to be asked then by those who say that they know Jesus. You say, well, I know Jesus. Then the question that the Bible says and Paul says is, has the life changed? Are you different? Do you continue going on in your sins? Well, I don't think I go on in my sins. Well, what is sin? Well, I don't really know. I know some things. I know if I kill somebody, that's not right. That must be sin. I know if I lie, that definitely must be sin. But I don't know what sin really is. I've never thought of the fact that if I don't come to God in prayer consistently is sin. If I don't meet with His people, that's sin. If I use my tongue in a way that the Bible describes of speaking not only sinful things, but in a way that Paul describes it when I speak in a malicious way. What is sin? You see, the Bible is very clear that when the Bible says that we, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, have been, old man has been crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, He's speaking of the whole body of sin. There are people that pride themselves and they say, well, you know, I go to church once in a while and I give in the offering a little bit. That's pretty good. I do stuff like that. But, you know, that should be enough. God should be happy with me. Well, when God changes the life, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul says the whole entire old man, that is, the whole body of sin in every action has been done away and you're no longer slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. We've been freed from the dominion of sin. So these are the questions that we must ask when we come unto the Word of God and we come to the matter of being a Christian. What change has there been? What difference has it made? Have you changed in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ says a change will be? Have you changed in the way that God says a change is to be? There are some people who say, well, you know what? I drank a lot, but now I don't drink anymore. That's it. I don't drink anymore. And since I don't drink anymore, then that must mean then that this body of sin has been done away. That's what it means. No, it isn't what it means. It means the entire life. The mind, the heart, the way you think, what comes out of the heart, all of the actions, everything changes to where you are a new man, says Paul in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 3. A new man. So that you come out of darkness into light. Light representing righteousness, holiness. And Paul says all of that is done because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. His salvation that He's accomplished is that when He saves a man or a woman, this is what happens. the life is completely changed. That's the question then that Paul would say. He would say, what do we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is that what a Christian does in saying, well, Lord, you've saved me and you give me grace, and the more that I understand grace, why, look, you have saved me from the old man. You've saved me from this whole body of sin. And so if I just continue sinning, there's going to be more grace, and that's going to be to your glory. No, says Paul, that isn't the way to think at all. Not at all. Because a true child of God is one who is identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. The old man has been crucified. When the Lord Jesus was crucified, the end was that he died. Sin is to have that same effect. Sin is to die. Not that a true child of God does not sin, for they do. But sin is no longer that master where they are slaves to that sin. All of us have to look at our own hearts and say, has there been a change? Has there been a change? People looking at me and talking with me, do they say, you know what? Wow, something's different here. What is it? I mean, you were once this way. Now you're just totally different. Is it a life of loving God? Is it a life of desiring to do all of His commands? Is it a life of glorifying and praising Him? Is it a life where your heart and your thoughts are on things above, not here? How often do you think of God? I know in trouble you do, but how often? Is it once in a while? Is it just because you want to feel religious? Or is there a burning desire to fellowship with God, to know God, to love Him, to worship Him? And He is your all in all. There is nothing that this life or this world can give you above the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a true believer. And so this is what we ask. Is that true? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, the gospel always has an invitation. The gospel never fails to say, with the Lord Jesus Christ, when He says, come to me and I will give you rest, Matthew 11. I am salvation. You come desiring to turn from your sins. You come acknowledging that you are rebellious against God. You come with a spirit that you understand, Lord, I cannot save myself. I need your grace. And you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you cast yourself upon Him. Lord, save me. And you come by faith. I don't deserve it. And yet in your mercy, you do save sinners. And you come to Him. He says, anyone who comes, I will never cast out, but I will receive. There are ones who come only in name. But God says, coming with a whole heart. How many people say, well, I've come. Have you ever heard of people saying, you know, I've come to Jesus and I tried Him out, but it just didn't work. It just didn't quite work. No such thing as that. No such thing as that. That's totally contrary to anything in the Bible. If you come to Lord Jesus Christ and He changes the life, it will always work. Because His atonement is everlasting. His work is everlasting. And when he changes the heart of a sinner, never goes back again. Never goes back. You don't try. You submit to God and you bow the knee to God and you plead his mercy. May it be that all of us know what it is to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. You don't leave us, Lord, without clearly showing to us from your word the way of salvation. You don't leave us alone just to try to find our own way, but you show us clearly out of your word. We pray, Lord, that each one of us would examine our relationship with you. Have we changed? Has the body of sin been done away? Have we become free from the slavery of sin? May we answer these questions, and may it be to your glory. In your name, amen.